بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. One morning I was leaving the Merkaz in Bombay, Kokabazar, and accompanied by one Arab. So this Arab was quite an educated, very informed person. We were alone, so we could talk a little bit freely. Whereas those that are coming from oil-rich countries, they're very careful of what they say, what they discuss. He tells me, why is it that in every department of deen, the Indian is taking the lead? Then you start counting. Says, look at Tabligh. There's nobody that is doing work like this people are doing. He came for something else. He didn't come to spend time in Jamaat. But he came, he was an agent to recruit people for the Arab countries. So he gets his agency, gets a fees for the agency. So that's what work he came for. But I happened to meet him. Tabligh Jamaat says, these people are taking the. Then you look at madrasas, they have covered the whole world, from east to west, north to south, and their madrasas is running. Then if you look at khanqahs, etc., then others start off, but they fly by night, and they stop. This one is carrying on. Now who's talking to me? Quite a prejudiced Arab. Got an ego of Arab nationality, he's talking to me. When you talk of jihad, then there's nobody like them. Then you start counting the whole history. Till present day, right? From the past to now, there's nobody like them. So, sometimes there's a need to discuss these things, not to create any type of false fury. Sometimes youngsters, when they hear this, they're going to do this. But it is discussed now and then to understand the contributions of your elders, what they did. Jihad is for, I explained earlier, preservation and propagation. That's the need for jihad, right? And they did it. But they couldn't do it from one front, they did it from another front. They did the preservation and the propagation from another front. So they start from one, but can we achieve the goal? Can't achieve the start from the other end, and they carry on. Right? Now up till now you see that approximately throughout the world, if there is proper dini work that is carrying on, whether in a madrasa, whether in tabligh, missionary work, whether in jihad, whether in a khanqah, then it is these people there. And these people, they got their centers mainly in Dioban. We talk about the mujahideen in Afghanistan, then directly, indirectly, they connected here. If you ask them where they studied, they tell you, studied in madrasa Haqqaniya. Madrasa Haqqaniya, who's the founder? It's a Diobandi. So directly, indirectly, we are connected here. Haqqaniya is the Peshawar site, right? And the founder there is a Diobandi. He started the thing. So indirectly or directly, we are connected here. So there's several things to see here. One is to see the level of the sincerity. That they withstood all the trials of time. People coming in from one end to the other end, one way to the other end, they sacrificing their honor, their wealth, their lives, their families, everything, just for the deen. Around 1930 somewhere, right? 1925, 1930 somewhere, Hazrat Shah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi had left Dioban to go and teach in Dabel, right? That's around 25-30. that there was a need for a Sheikh ul Hadith. And Hazrat Madani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that he is the Ustad of most of all Ustads, right? Hazrat Madani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh was somewhere in Bangladesh, not Bangladesh, Bangla, right? The name, I can't just get it now. So he was teaching there. The principal of the madrasa was Mawlana Hafiz Ahmad, his Karitri Yusuf's father. He was known as Hafiz Ahmad, but he was a great alim. So he urgently asked him to come up. Now, Mawlana was reluctant because he's got an important duty here. He's teaching very, very responsible, great kitabs. But then, the respect that he had and the love he had for the family forced him to know, must go there. It's an urgent letter, so I must respond. So Hafiz Ahmad now explained Mawlana the whole predicament in Darul Deoband, that there is a vacancy for the Sheikh ul Hadith and you must take the place. Mawlana blankly refused. So now Mawlana Ahmad Sahib knows now how to work with Mawlana Madani Sahib Rahmatullahi. So he said, alright, if ever there is a collapse in the functioning in Darul Deoband, then I will, on the day of Qiyamah, complain to Allah Ta'ala and complain to your seniors that there was a collapse. And you were around, but you were nowhere to be seen on the, you were nowhere to see. Went away. Mawlana says, now, for that I have no answer now. The card that he threw out now, I had to just give him. He said, no intentions to be here. But talking of Qiyamah, talking of my seniors, and complaints reaching their ears, I felt this was something I couldn't manage. So anyway, he came in. As he came in now, India, there are some procedures in India. So, Mullah started off here. So, the Mullah was teaching that place is called Baskand. Baskand, that's the place in Bengal, somewhere near Calcutta. So, the whole procedure is when you're taking that type of a position, then they'll have a small jalsa. Students, ulama, common people, we all called, and they have a jalsa. See? So now that's a reception. They honor you, and it's a reception. So at the jalsa now, Mawlana is called to deliver a talk. Now this is 1930, right? English are still here. English only left India 1947. So this is around 1929-30. Right? So in his address, Mawlana had to clear up the minds, see. Because in the audience will be all types of people. Shah Sahib went away, he came, what happened, why it happened like this. So, Shaitan is not dying, because he said, Anzirni ila yom yubasun. It must pay me right to the end. So he's still playing his game. His game is to confuse minds, complicate, propaganda machine, media, that is his machinery. Propaganda, the media, all that's his machinery, so that people read these things here and their minds are all confused, right? Same with all this WhatsApp and all that. So we need to see now who's behind the scenes, who's writing all these things. Because one word can make a whole mountain of a difference. It's one word. We think, no, it's a small thing. Just to show you, what a difference it can make. So I won't mention the names. But those that know it, they know it. So, Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu is sending a governor. See, the head is in Medina Munawara, so there are different areas to be controlled. So, like Egypt is under Medina, Sham is under Medina, Yemen is under Medina. So he's sending one person to be a governor in a certain area. Now, obviously he'll have to have an official letter that he's the appointed, that he's the person that he's appointed, and he'll give the letter there to the officials, and then he'll be sworn in as the governor of the place. Now, if you look at the old Quran Sharif, old, it means over 1,300 years, then there wasn't the style of the Zabardasts. The Zabardasts came about 1,250 years after that. So this old Quran said no Zabardasts. So you're writing a letter, there's no Zabardasts, right? And there's no, not even Nuktas, right? You got Alif, and got Be, and Jim, Ke Pet Me Ek Nukta, right? So you don't really have all these things. So the reader will see the letter and he'll understand what he's talking about. Like how you see Urdu, you don't see Zabardasts, but the reader knows, alright, this is what he means. So there was no Zabardasts, there's no Nuktas. Now the letter is sent to be delivered there in that country, right? So now, one person played a mischief. What he did, Yatikum Fulan, right? Faiza Atakum Fakbalu. So he went and distorted the letter. Iza Atakum Faktulu. See now, one word, what a difference can make. He's coming to be in a position of a governor of this area here. He comes, then embrace him, accept him. So one person made a mischief. But as the letter is going across, how great Allah Pak knows, but some mischief was played. And they got the stamp, they got the seal of the state. But now the Zabar is there. So he's made a mischief, and he says, in place of saying, when he comes and embrace him and accept him, now with the just one two nuktas, the whole meaning changes. When he comes, then slay him, behead him. Now, this person that's got the letter, something went into his mind. So let me read, you know, before I go and deliver this thing here and something happens, let me read the contents. He read the contents, his whole mind went against the Khalifa. Uthman is a Khalifa here. So, alright, they're sending me to be killed. What's wrong? What's wrong with these people? See now, this is propaganda machine. Now, we can't be so naive and gullible that we feed on any type of filth that comes into the media, comes into WhatsApp, this message here, that message here. Can't do these things. No, this Sherlock Holmes, right? He's a private detective and investigator, right? For the British. So he made his own investigation about the 9/11 that came out only after 20 years, right? That this is absolutely false. He made his proper investigation. The book is outside out. I've seen the book myself. No, the right information comes when? 20 years later. So up till that point, everything is concealed. And the world is made to believe that it's true, 9/11. The world is made to believe that every Muslim is a terrorist, right? They haven't read this book of Sherlock Holmes. They haven't read it. But his book is out. His book is out. People have got it. But just a few people, handful of people have got it. In the meanwhile, this machine, propaganda machine is doing its work. Like now you see, now, when this has happened, can you believe the virus story? See where it's coming, which end it's coming from. The truth of the virus story can only come after 20 years. But by that time it's too late. They have done what they need to do. That it's coming from this quarter here. That created such a menace, right? And people are still under the misconception that it was a Muslim thing. Muslims were behind it. After 20 years they discovered, okay, it's not Muslim didn't do anything. Now I say, it came from the same quarter here, right? The result of the quarter, the result of this menace here, right? Virus story. Masjids are closed world over the world, right? Haramain is restrained. Right? Dini work, you can't do it as freely as you're supposed to be doing it, right? Activity that he was doing, all type of dini activity is on hold. Don't you see? So, 9/11 also, when you look at the common denominator, 9/11, the culprit, the victim was Muslim. They were attacking Muslims, wasn't it? Who they were targeting? Who was the target? The target was a Muslim. Something will tell you, right, here again, the target must be the Muslim. Whatever the plan is, however they planned it, whatever, but there's a lot of reason to believe that the target is the Muslim. But why the Muslim? There's several reasons to say that the target is the Muslim, right? The main is this, that, you see, well, they call themselves a democracy. All these European countries, they call themselves. So over 90% of the world is all democracy. And democracy, what they work with majority, right? When working with majority, now two things happening in a Muslim home. One is, the numbers are just escalating. So now that brings up a shiver in the spine, that these numbers are just escalating. Now when there's going to be elections, then what's going to happen to us? That's one concern. Number two is this, that they're all talking of not having children, right? And how you understand that they are talking about not having children, they're going to LG, right? When you go to LG, then is the production line, is that running or closed? It's still to be seen now, a man can deliver a child. So they close the whole production line, they close it up. Now, it's such a confusing thing, right? Every country requires soldiers, people defending the country, right? People that could be intelligent, doctors, engineers, right? People, legal people require that. To run the country, you need that, right? But now you close the production line, then how is the country going to sustain itself? How is it going to sustain? You need a doctor, you need an engineer, you need a technician, you need all these things here. Instead of close the line. How the country is going to sustain itself? So they close the whole line, and they want the production to be like normal. How is it going to happen? That's the second thing. The third thing is this: like I said, they also the target was the Muslim, right? He was the threat. He was the fear. Right? Here again, the person that is suffering the most is the Muslim. Every dini activity is restrained. He can't do it like he's supposed to be doing it. Talk of madrasa, he can't do it. Talk of jamaat, he can't do it. Talk of hajj and umrah, he can't do it. Talk of any other dini activity, they can't just do it. So that fear is so overwhelming that they can't do what they're supposed to be doing. So they restrain the whole thing. When they restrain the whole thing, you can't do the dini activity. When you can't do the dini activity now, as though the dini line has been restrained. They are seeing how the conversion towards Islam is going too rapid. You won't see in any Western country, conversion is just going like wild, you know, can't stop it. There you look at Australia, in the parliament, yeah, some people accept Islam there. Their fathers are, parents are thoroughbred against Islam, and they're thoroughbred Muslims. But they can't do anything about it. England, the same story. America, the same story. They're just converting that. So now how to restrain this? So they have to think of something on an international level to bring a restraint. Now, when it's going to be it's going to be politically flavored, the people will think that it's a political thing. So now give it a health, a dimension of a health thing, right? When you're giving a health thing now, so the politicians are out of the equation. It's because of your own health, medical reasons, etc. But how the whole thing is maneuvered, how the thing is... Now you see how this propaganda machine works, right? But you can't be so naive, you can't be so gullible that anything and everything you are fed with, you just accept it. So, you know, our duty is to preserve Islam. Our duty is to propagate Islam and explain what's the meaning of propagation and preserving. Now, under the context, what should you be doing? See, under the circumstance that you are in, how should you be preserving and how should you be propagating Islam? You have a Meccan period, you have a Madani period. And strangely, I should think this Jamaatullah giving a bayan, where they got it from. But the same thing I found on all kitab I found, that they say is, you can apply the Meccan system when there is a circumstance. Right? And when there isn't a circumstance, then the Madani, you go open. Right? But now, there is a propagation in Islam, but in the Meccan style, secretly concealed, person to person, somehow or the other, you're doing it, right? Then you come to Medina, then you go open. Ya ayyuhan nas, inni rasulullahi ilaykum. Open cards. There are no concealed. They're talking and talking openly. Ya hirakal azim ar-rum, aslim taslam. Straight. Now that's from Medina Munawwara. When you got the authority, you got the clout to sing that, right? And otherwise in Makkah Mukarrama, the quiet you got, Umar radiallahu anhu, you better accept Islam. See, the quiet you're doing it. And then you're doing it publicly. So now, this is where we are now. So this work of deen can't be stopped at any time, at any cost. Life, wealth, anything goes, but the deen must carry on. If you look at this whole hijrah, you look, right? Well, they moved on to Medina Munawwara. I asked you, did they take all the properties with them? All the businesses with them? No promise of any security in Medina that would abandon everything and just change shop, you know, just hop over. No guarantee of any type of a sanctuary, business, nothing. But now, you see what sacrifices was made. For what? Same for Islam. So now, under the circumstances, this is what we need to think now, right? Here, what we have to do is two things. We have to do things without any legal implications. So one bright spark, one brave person can say, oh, I'll do it. But then, the problems that come afterwards. Now, this type of problems came in India already. Now, let me just show you one, right? So, you got this fanatics, right? They want to kill, say, about 500 Muslims. So they have a plan. Right? What they will do now, they will go to a masjid in the quiet, and they will plant one swine's head. 2-3 heads. Now, obviously, when a Muslim will see that, he will become furious. So if he sees any non-Muslim around there, he'll behead him. Right? Because he's the person that did this. Now, ulama say, no, don't do these things here. So why? For Islam, masjid is being, the sanctity of the masjid is being violated. You're not doing anything. So that person is becoming emotional. That alim is saying, no, don't do this. You don't have any love. Yeah, you're covered. We're telling you, don't do these things here. They won't listen. Now one person goes and kills one person. So now that gives the license to the army, to the police, to go and put away 500 Muslims. Now, when the 500 Muslims are put away, I ask you, those children that are often, you look after them. Those women that have become widows, you look after them. So many lives have gone, right? Now, who's going to take care? So that alim is saying something, he's saying it because of experience. He knows what's going on. He knows how the thing works. I know, sitting in Azadji Ramtari, and that Sanjay, Idira's son, right? That plane crashed, I don't remember. Plane crashed and he died. Right? Someone mentioned the town. But one town, the papers are showing that they are celebrating over his death. Passing on mitai, Muslims are doing it. Passing mitai here, passing mitai there. Hazrat went silent. I'm thinking, what happened here now? I'm still thinking, this was someone in the 80s, right? I think, what happened here? Hazrat says, you look, jante nahi. You don't understand. She's the ruler. And this has happened to her son. And you celebrate him. And in a few months, in that whole town, there was a communal problem. 1,000 people killed, khalas. You know, they're soldiers, Sanjay. You don't get yourself into any, don't implicate yourself, don't implicate others. You may be brave, but as a result of your bravery, if 1,000 people are going to get children, what do? You look after the children. You look after their wives. You look after their families. You look after their affairs, and you don't do it. So, it's something you have to think about before you take a step. Don't do these things yet. So, our ulama taught us, now you have to work under the circumstance. What should we do? How do we preserve? How do we work with the people? Now look at it. Here, we have to work here, right? So, we have to work the maktabs and all that. So, most of our ulama here locally, they thought now the better thing is make house visits. I'm going to meet the parents personally. So they did that, alhamdulillah. Most places they did that. And by the grace of Allah, like a karamat of these maktabs, that the numbers actually some places doubled. You know, what it was previously, they got into a fikr now. When they got into a fikr now, the numbers just doubled. Right? But you see this now, you have a crisis now. Then if you think now, what do we do? You can leave it like this, right? And look at a maktab or a madrasa, look at it. Look at its function. See, we don't take the time to sit down and think of what's the function of a maktab, of a madrasa, or a pre-Juma talk, right? We don't think that important. We know what it is. Now, we will only understand it in the absence of بِزِدِّتَ تَبَيَّنُ بِهِ. When you do a comparison, then you see things in perspective, right? Now look at a situation where there is no maktab, no pre-Juma talk, right? Right? No madrasa, right? Now leave it like this, nothing. And let that situation carry on for, say, 12 years. Right? You'll lose one whole generation. What will happen to the child? The child that passed that generation, what happened to him? He had nothing to do with deen. Nobody tutored him. Nobody guided him. You may be an individual that's got fikr. So you will do something for your children. But the vast majority, have you got the fikr? You teach the child Quran Sharif, beliefs, aqaid, masail, and all. It's like when you spoke about the masjid closed down, right? So the thing that was perturbing, the major thing that was perturbing me. People don't understand what goes on. One thing was that was very worrying me terribly, you see. And when people are reading namaz, threes and fours and all that, they're doing all that. All right, it's an emergency. So we don't want to go into that masala. But these people went around here 60s and 70s. They went here. In the 60s and 70s, I know the senior people of our towns, right? Maybe they didn't have beers all that time. But they made sure that every school was closed, was allowing the Muslims to go and attend Juma namaz. Every school. Small school or big school. I know old people here. No beer, no proper beer also, right? But if they knew that there's a white also, and a Muslim is working for that white, but he's not lying for Juma, if they had a contact, somehow they'll go there and force him to allow the Muslim. I know of people that happen. I know, personally, they would do it. Now, when you close on them, what happens? So I say, use your brains a little bit. The school will say, when three people, four people open me or Juma namaz, what's the fuss now? What's the need to go to the masjid? That's what they'll say, right? And I ask you now, what's going to happen to this generation's deen? See, like these factories that are here in Springer Beach, right? They asked if they could do the Juma in their factories, right? So you'll say, is the arm is permissible? People came and asked, they said, don't. Very big people, very wealthy, right? They said, no, don't do it. They came about three or four times, they said, no, don't do it. And then see, in this vicinity, there's about four masjids. Springer Beach, Springer Rail, Springer Hills, Lotus Park, all that, right? You got about four or five masjids. Now, many a times it happens that the poor, right, he doesn't see the inside of a masjid for months on end. Right? With the pretext of the Juma, he's seeing the masjid, he's interacting with Muslims, there's some literature that is that is given is a ijma' talk. So the munasabat, the familiarity with deen, is not worn off totally. Now just cut the person off for 6 months, 7 months. I ask you, the azmat, the respect of the Jummah, will it remain in the person's heart? Think, ask yourself, that azmat will remain in your heart. In fact, there were a lot of requests that were coming. You know, we're doing a Jummah at home, can we just continue? After this thing, can we continue? Then we have to put our foot down, say, hey, don't do this at all. Don't do this at all. Go into the masjid now. I know in Durban, phones came in. People came in personally. Can we just do it? So I don't know what's going to happen now. There'll be there, just give one small khutbah there. Let's finish it up, class. Now they got an azmat for the Jummah. They're preparing, making ghusl, listening to the pre-Jummah. There's something that's happening to the person's mind. One bayan, one talk of deen. To me nowadays, the talk, the pre-Jummah talk is like faras. Because there's no, absolutely no contact with deen whatsoever. Now, to somehow sow the seed of deen, muhabbat of deen, the love and the respect of deen, into the mass, how are you? Have you got any other forum to do it? Any other platform? I ask you, any other platform? So now, we have to do the work, but we have to think now, right? We don't want any type of legal implications. Do the work, but without any implications. Right? But you doing the work, the second person can do it, the third person, everybody can do it. There's no implications, right? So how to do it? Otherwise, I said, in the absence of a madrasa, what happens? You lost a generation. Right? Then you'll get, now look at it. I'm talking of like prominent, you know, prominent, wealthy, affluent, very affluent, educated. So, this lockdown now, the marriages that are taking place. So now they're getting married across the board, right? From a Muslim to a Hindu to a Christian. They're just getting married like that, living like that. And the actual statements when the Jamaat is going to meet them, say, no, see, we made up our minds that let not religion become interference and interruption in our love. See, we've got a love contact, we've got a love relationship. And we don't want religion to become a spokes in the works. I put religion here now, but this is not right, this is not right, we don't want that. See, what the, how they're thinking. She can practice what she wants to practice, I'll practice what I want to practice, but let us live in love. See how they're thinking. So now, this is what happened after. Then, what are you breeding? You are breeding kuffar. إِنَّكَ إِنْ تَذَرُمْ وَلَا يَلِدُ إِلَّا فَاجِرًا كُفَّارًا. So a Muslim home is breeding these things here. That we saw, that, you know, this educated class, wealthy class, they were talking about that. It was not like, you know, the rank and the file right at the bottom. No. This is the educated class you were talking about. I got involved myself personally. So I see the aftermath, what happens. Right. So, you got this absence of madrasa, maktab, jamaat, what happens, right? Then, when this generation has seen that there was no need for a madrasa, the next generation that is to follow, then will they have any respect for a maktab or a madrasa? Will they feel there's a need? You know, these people have to study, you know. Just now they have to stand on their feet. So that's a normal person. The madrasa is taking a lot of their time. They need to learn now. Tomorrow they have to run their homes. Madrasa is taking away 2-3 hours of their time. So how are they going to run their homes? See how they talk. So then the generation that's going to come after that, what will happen to them? They cut off completely. When they cut off completely, in two generations is about 20 years, right? In school, if you're in school, two generations is about 20 years, right? So that generation now would be breeding some kafir, some LG, some Satanism, some Satan, some Christian, all this type of people come out. Can you then have an audience of proper Muslims? Can you invite towards Islam nicely, decently, in a civil way? Can you? It becomes so difficult. Just in 20 years, I lose so many things. So I say, we can't, whatever is coming from that end, you can't just take it light. You can't take it. With all what's happening, I say, don't do anything that you get involved in some legal, legal implicated. But then discreetly you have to do your deen work. You have to do the, however you do it, but do it. If you look at the mutaqaddimin, right, they were so impassioned about passing on deen. No wages. But they're seeing already there's three people that are coming to madrasa. So they'll go straight into their homes and teach them. You know, I was looking at the halat of some muhaddis, Yahya ibn Sa'id, Qattan, al-Qasim. So he is delivering now. He's a very high profile. The likes of Ahmad ibn Hanbal are his students. He's at that level, right? So now look at the impassionate they are about deen and teaching deen, imparting deen. So, can you imagine now first the level of students? So Ahmad ibn Hanbal is the ustad of Imam Bukhari. But he's the ustad of Ahmad ibn Hanbal. So you can imagine what level. But what was their like zeal? So he is noticing that some persons are coming with a delay to the class. He's teaching our hadith, etc., whatever he's teaching. There are some persons that are coming with a delay. So when he's coming with a delay, then for his convenience, he's doing the whole lesson again. Because sometimes the lesson, one connects to the other, to the third. If you didn't get the first two, then you didn't get the end. You have to get the whole series. So for that person's convenience, he's starting the whole sabak again. This carried on for a week or so. Then he went and led the person. But why are you coming with a delay to the class? See, because of that now, I have to repeat the whole lesson. So he said, you see, I'm a battling class. I have to look after my wife, my children, and do something for them. So I earn something, give it to them, and once I've given them that, I fulfill my duty towards them. Then I come, from that point here, I come running full speed. I come running, not just walking, I come running. That I must get the full lesson. Now look at this muhaddis now. Have you got that figure? So we don't look at their lives, what they did. One is now look at their lives. Look at the figure, look at the zeal. He made it a point. He said, right, you stay at your place. Where you stay, call this address and all this. You travel about two kilometers on foot and teach the lesson to that person. One person. Now you see the zeal, the figure of the concern. I say, preservation, propagation. Preservation, propagation. So this person is a high profile. Hey, these are all small files, man. My students can do all this. He could have had that type of an attitude. But he says, no, but if it's a small fly or a big fly, I can't fly past. I must go to them personally. I must go and deliver it. See this gush now, where this gush comes in. And understand now, you don't want to go this to them. Tomorrow they'll run out of Islam. And then, so many people turned murtad and sat. But when they wanted someone to come and feed them, and you were not there. That's what they would say, alright, when we wanted the help, we were not around. Right? So these people came around, so we needed some type of a sanctuary, we moved on. See, the siyadi thing, they reason like that. So they're so weak in their deen. So, one thing our ulama kept in mind is they will advise you all the time, please don't do anything that you will get yourself legally implicated. Because you do one thing, and then the government has got authority, they can stop the whole activity. One person's demeanor, and the whole activity they can stop it. What are you going to do? So they look at it, alright, how to do it, these are the authorities. This is the work that we're doing. So how do we go about doing the work? How do we do the work? Let me show you, right? See, we don't use our minds. Really, we don't use our minds. Suhaib Rumi, right? Radiyallahu anhu. So, he is migrating to Medina. Why he has to migrate? Think to yourself, why he has to migrate? He has to migrate because he can't practice his deen properly, freely, completely in Mecca. Persecution, torture, murder, all that type. So he has to go into a place where he can practice his deen freely, correctly, completely can do it. So he's moving from Mecca to Medina Munawwara. Here the Meccans are pursuing him. So he pulls out his quiver, pulls out his sword, his arrows. So you see, I'm an excellent marksman. If I try for any of you, I'll get you all. Right? I'll get you all, right? And you all can't, you won't be able to reach me so easily. I'll finish all my arrows, and then I'll start off with my sword. And thereafter, whatever you want to do, you can do after that. But I won't let you come near me. But if you want a better bargain, see, my wealth is here in Makkah, Mukarrama, take that and give me a free and an easy passage. Rasulullah sees Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anhu. He says, Rabih al-Bay'u Aba Yahya. Rabih al-Bay'u Aba Yahya. What an excellent bargain you have struck. Ayat of the Quran Sharif was revealed. من الناس من يشري نفسه ابتغاء مرضات الله. He sold himself for the pleasure of Allah. He gave up his wealth for the pleasure of Allah. Right. Today, someone can misconstrue it as bribery, right? He gave something for a passage, isn't it? Had he not given something, not greased the palm, then he would have got the passage. You would have misconstrued it, right? Won't you misconstrue it? I'm showing you that Suhaib is here. This incident you must have come across. Right? Actually, you have to work with different authorities at different levels. So, you have to show them some recognition. You can't just bypass. You can't argue, you can't fight, you can't disregard, you can't do these things here. But now you have to preserve the deen. You have to propagate the deen. How do you do it? You have to preserve the deen, you have to propagate it, higher than it. You're just going to let it carry on. So these authorities that are there, you don't interfere with them. Don't interfere, don't knock horns with them, don't argue, don't do that. Show them the respect. And 9 or 10 times, when you show them respect, you show them, you recognize them, they become soft. That no, you are respecting us, you're recognizing us. But the thing that irritates them is that you're not showing the respect. You're not recognizing the authority. You're doing that. You're saying that, I'll show you. So he's saying the same, I'll show you. You say, I'll fix you up. He'll say, I'll fix you up. So who wins? A little bit of respect, recognition. All right, you were an official, government official. You got the government to support you. You recognize all that. And you gave him his recognition. And you did your dini work. Can't you do that? This lifestyle of the Shaykh Hind Rahmatullah Ali, right? The Shaykh Hind Rahmatullah Ali. So, now they are in some place, they can't meet. When they can't meet, they won't be able to read Namaz with Jamaat, obviously, right? They can't meet now. They put them into such. So, the writer is writing, Mia Azhar Hussain Sagar, writing, saying that. And Mia Azhar Hussain Sahib was a great buzur. Mufti Mawad Shafi Sahib used to go and sit in his presence to take his barakat, all that. So he's writing there, kuch arwah muqaddasa ki barakat se, aur kuch hazrat fulus ki barakat se. Kuch arwah muqaddasa ki barakat se, aur kuch hazrat fulus ki barakat se, hamein ijazat di gayi, we have given permission to meet from 8 o'clock until the Maghrib. From 8 o'clock to Maghrib, at least 3 namaz were done. Zuhar, Asr, and Maghrib. But to preserve the deen now, what you just sit out there? So, no, this bribery, you can't do these things here. And so, obviously, they were ulama, great people there. But they knew that this is an obligation. We have to get our namaz right, get the deen right, get the motivation and the drive right. How are we going to do it? And you will take that authority on. I'll fix you up. What will you do? You see, I'll fix you up. You got no backup support. He got all the backup support. You got nothing with you. So what are you going to do? Somehow, to be good with the person, recognize, respect him, and get your work done. We can't even do that much. Then what are we good for then? So I'm showing you now, if the absence of this madrasa, tabligh, all that, in just one project, 20 years, he's lost. Now, he's Ismail and Yusuf, and his child is Munsami and Chinsami. Right? It's Joseph and whatever else. Right? Yes, in one generation, you lose it all. Your daughter is marrying that person, and you are marrying that person, whoever. And there is marrying across the board, they are marrying. Right? We don't come into contact with this type of situations, so we don't think, we don't know. And we think it doesn't exist. But if you go, just go scratch the surface, you'll see what's going on. We have to, now recently, someone went to affiliate, right? So when they're affiliating, then we're going to check the whole thing out. Now, madrasa, right? Madrasa, maktab, we have to go and do the whole survey, we have to go and do it. Because they're not linked, now they're linking up. So about 100 or some odd children that's studying there. So, we ask them, right? Teach, ask them all the basic things. What the advanced things, basic things. Then we know how to start off. So they asked, randomly they asked, who is God? 99%, Allah make us maaf, right? 99% of the class said, Jesus. See. Now, I ask you, when the belief is Jesus, the madrasa, and the belief is Jesus, is there any validity for the namaz? Validity for the Quran Sharif. Nothing is valid. Absolutely nothing valid. So you have to go there, you start them right from the rock bottom. Get that thing right. And bring them up. What an effort it is. You think it's just you're just moving in cool breeze in the park. It's not like that. If you go and see that thing, make the magaj mari, go and talk to the person, the official, sometimes they're reluctant to let you in also. You should still work with them, show them the respect, get your work done. Then only you see the results afterwards. But now you feel, no, it's just a breeze in the park. Let's go do it. Go show the people. Something like that. Not so easy. Okay, so this, we have to do the deeni work. Understand that every person's duty is, he must preserve and he must propagate. However you can do it. Think in your own area what you can do, how you can do it, how you can make it happen. Don't think I'm just one individual. And what can I do? You make that figure, you take a few steps, you see, Lamak's help will come. You did something, next person will see, he'll cooperate, third person will come, and something gets moving. But if I'm waiting for you to start off, and you're waiting for that person to start off, then it will be like that hose of Shah Jahan, what? Shah Jahan's hose. Yeah? That hose went dry, see? So the king ordered that everybody, I want this hose to be filled with milk. So everybody has to bring one bucket of water and fill it up. So one person thought to himself, we've got time from now until the next morning. So I take one bucket of water and fill it up. Who will discover? By the morning, when they had seen the hose, it was pure water. But everybody thought the same. Everybody thought the same way. So the easy way is by do something. How much you can do? What can you do? Even if it's a word, bikalimatin, right? One word, how you can give it. Allah gave different type of talents to different people. You see, in any work, right, someone is a worker, someone is a manager, someone got brains, someone is a teacher. Preacher doesn't have to be a teacher. A teacher doesn't have to be a preacher. So different type of talents, you put them together and you get a whole thing working. Right? So this is my message today, right? That when we got this type of situations, that it is not just one individual's responsibility. It's everybody's responsibility. Like I was explaining, that in Johannesburg, right, when we had that meeting, they were not doing the ghusl for the mayat. You see, when you take it to the extreme, you know that virus will get you. So you don't need ghusl for your father, for your son, you don't want to visit them, you don't want to talk to them. So you take it to the extreme. So I told them at the ulama meeting, if you all go do it, you all be also going to come. Because it's a farz kifaya. When it's a farz kifaya, then if one person does it, everybody is absolved. But if nobody does it, then your 1,000 people are living there, all you could have got. Ulama, no ulama, everybody is involved. You have to make a plan, see that it's done. So that Mula, what is it? Bilal. Yeah. So he got shaken up, he got looked up. So he made an announcement there in his masjid. So those Musallis, they felt upset, hey, how could he say that, oh, Guregars? But he had to spell it out, there was a figure in him, because he knows, everybody knows it's the first kifaya. So he had to spell it out. Or right, there had some little bit of difficulty, but the hurdle was cleared up, and they made sure that every mayat is given the proper ghusl. Ghusl is done, the burial is done, how it's supposed to be done, right? They did it, right? But a little bit of fikr, a little bit of concern, in the circumstance you are in now, how should you work the thing out? Under the circumstance, how you can work it out? You have the fikr, Allah will create an opening. But no fikr, and you will do irrational things, emotional, then you'll just, you'll just spoil things. Everything will just get spoiled. A little bit of understanding, politely, respect, recognition, etc. And you get so many things, you get it done. A little bit of styling. That was the one thing. Today I was talking about Muhammad Qasim Sahib, not Muhammad Sahib. So one thing that links it up. So he was about 49, and he had fallen very seriously ill. Very seriously, no hopes. So the great buzurg of that time was Muhammad Yaqub Sahib. So Muhammad Yaqub Sahib said, right, ghabrao mat, don't get worried, he'll get through this sickness, he'll come up again. But incidentally, he passed away. 49 years of age, he passed away. So Muhammad says, no, what the vision I saw was right, but I misread the vision. I saw a vision. The vision was right, but I misread it, miscalculated it. The vision that I saw was, I saw Mahdi. Right? When I saw Mahdi, then I thought to myself, what is the numerical value of Mahdi? So that goes to about 70, 80 or something, because every alphabet has got a value. Right? So I added all that, came to 70, 80, so don't worry, he'll pull through the sickness and he'll live. Right? But not realizing what the dream was showing me, or what the vision was showing me, is not the numerical value, it's showing the age of Imam Mahdi. So Imam Mahdi, he lived till about 48, 49. So that was his showing. And I misread the thing. See, how I read it? I read the numerical value, and it was not talking about the numerical value, it was talking about the age of Imam Mahdi. So now that's the difference between a wali and a nabi. A nabi will see something, and he will see it, and he will predict accurate. You know, like for example, you ask someone, what's the distance from this wall to that wall? It may say about 20 meters. It may be about 25, 23, right? Maybe a mistake. But you brought someone right at this point here. You ask him, what's the distance between that point to the wall? Say 1 meter. Sure, 100%. So when a Nabi is shown something, he's brought right to the area, right to the scene. When he sees it, he sees precision. He sees accuracy. He can't make a mistake. Now the non-Nabi, the wali, he sees the same thing from a distance. When he sees the thing from a distance, so he can make a mistake. Not that he's concocting something up, not making it up. He's right, but he can make a mistake in his assessment. Okay.